Let us turn this evening in the word of the Lord to the book of the Revelation. We're turning this time to the chapter 5. We considered chapter 4 last evening. Tonight our subject, as you know, is the worship of heaven. Lord willing, tomorrow night we'll be considering the wedding in heaven. But tonight we want to look at the worship of heaven and what the worship of heaven is like and compared to our worship of the Lord here, and how we ought to strive after that our worship here will be like that which is in heaven. Because that's the way we'll be worshiping God when we do enter into the Father's house, as it is revealed here in the Word of God and even in this fifth chapter of Revelation. There's been so many modernistic, in my own opinion, in many ways carnal influences in worship today. It's not God honoring, it's not God glorifying. And it's a vast difference to what we have here in Revelation 5. And so let us turn to Revelation chapter 5, and I would like to thank all for coming tonight. It's appreciated very much. And those who have been inviting others to come, and I am indeed glad to see my friends from the martyrs tonight as well. And so we trust that over the remaining three nights that the Lord will come and visit with us in a very special way, that he'll take us into the heavenlies. Revelation chapter 5, and what a wonderful portion of scripture and chapter this is. John says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written, within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, all and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord again be pleased to add his blessing to the public reading of his holy and his infallible word. Before we consider the Lord's word to our hearts this evening, we need the Lord's help. Let us unite now in prayer around the throne of grace. Most loving and eternal and thrice holy God, we bow humbly, reverently in thy holy presence this hour. We know, Lord, indeed, that thou art holy. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. And we come, Lord, this hour into thy house. And I pray earnestly, Lord, that thou would fill this house this evening with a holy awe of God. I pray, Lord, this night that by the working of thy Holy Spirit, that, Lord, there will come upon us the fear of God. I pray earnestly, Lord, that we'll be conscious that this is more than just a church meeting. But, Lord, we have come into the presence of the Almighty. We've come into the presence of Jehovah. And, oh, Lord, I pray that thou would help me to conduct myself aright this evening. Help me, Lord, to speak well of thee. Help me, Lord, to speak well of my dear, loving Savior. And, oh, Lord, come tonight and touch every heart. I pray, Lord, that if there's coldness tonight in hearts, Lord, remove that coldness. And, oh, Lord, kindle fire of love for the Savior. Melt our eyes tonight. Melt our hearts tonight. And may our thoughts be only of Christ. Grant to me, dear Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit. We might be enabled, Lord, to preach the word, to preach Christ, and to preach the blood in the Lord's holy, precious, and worthy name. I ask all these things. Amen. As indicated, the subject for tonight in this particular series, we have entitled Heaven is Home. Tonight we want to look at the worship of heaven. In our text for tonight, Revelation 5 and verse 9. Verse 9, they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The last few meetings, we have been considering aspects of heaven. Where is heaven? The way to heaven. And last night we looked at our welcome into heaven. And upon our arrival in heaven, one of the first things that we as glorified saints will experience will be the worship of heaven, the worship of the Lamb. And we can only ask ourselves in the light of God's Word, how does our worship services differ from that worship of heaven? I trust that there will be very few differences. We should always endeavor to make sure that when we gather to worship God, we should desire to have a little bit of heaven upon earth. That what we experience here in our worship is simply a foretaste of glory divine and a foretaste of what we will experience when we enter the Father's house. And I, for one, and I don't believe I am alone, but I, for one, am glad that what we see in some churches that goes under the name of worship is not what we will be facing and engaging in when we get to heaven. For what do we have now in many churches? Well, the pulpit has been removed and replaced with a stage. Instead of a preacher preaching the word and preaching Christ, now there's an actor on the stage. Instead of a holy reverence and an act of worship for God, instead we have entertainment. We have to entertain people now. This is the way we can hold on to people. This is the way we gather people in. We must entertain them. None of that is like the worship in heaven. None of it. And to me, it's an abomination. I don't believe God would have a part of it. Once again, the Lord taught his disciples to pray, Thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. And I believe that that is in every aspect of the Christian life, including our worship of God. That can be applied, as we have said, to every aspect of life. We take the word worship. The word worship simply means worth-ship. It also means deserving. It also means merited. So we worship God. Why? Because he is worthy. Because he merits our worship. Because he merits our praise and our exaltation. Revelation 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. Revelation 5, verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. This is worship. This is how we are to worship God. There are four Hebrew words that are translated worship in our authorized version of the scriptures. And the one most commonly used means to bow down. It is first used in scripture in Genesis 18 and verse 2, where the heavenly visitors came to the tent of Abraham. And one of those heavenly visitors was the Lord himself. And Abraham bowed himself before him. He worshipped him. The key word in the Greek for worship means to kiss toward. As it were, to lean forward and to kiss the one we are worshiping. And I was thinking upon that today. And I was thinking, what a wonderful thought. That when we come to worship our Savior, let us kiss the Lord with our worship. Let us kiss the Lord with our worship. Let our worship of Christ be to us a kiss of adoration. Think of it. We think about what the Savior has done for us. Don't we want to kiss him? Don't we want to be like that woman who, when the Lord entered the house of the Pharisee, she came in, stood behind him, and her eyes were opened up into fountains of tears. And she wept and she wept and she wept. And she spent the whole time kissing the feet of Christ. Will we not want to do the same when we enter the Father's house and see our dear Savior standing there? Will we not want to kiss him? I will. So while we cannot do that now, we can kiss him with our adoration and with our worship. And so when we're engaged in the worship of our Savior, think of it that way. Think of it that way, that we're kissing our blessed Savior in an act of adoration and love and devotion. You recall the words of our dear Savior in John 4. He spoke to the woman of Samaria about worship. And in John 4, we read there in verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Listen, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. That's God's standard. We are to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We are to worship the Lord in the spirit of holiness. And the Lord Jesus says, the Father seeketh such to worship him. That's his standard. And our worship of God is not to be based on our standard, but on the standard of God. God's standard. And that's how we'll worship in heaven, according to God's standard. Therefore, let us worship here on earth according to God's standard. For when we enter heaven with all the other glorified saints, our worship then will be the truest, purest, holiest act of worship we have ever engaged our souls in. And as this portion of Scripture affords us a glimpse of what the worship in heaven will be like, first of all, we notice when we enter heaven, we will enter an atmosphere of worship. There'll be an atmosphere of worship. There will be no set times, as it were, to engage in worship, but there will be an eternal atmosphere of worship and praise and glorifying God. There will be, first of all, the praising of the Lamb. In this world in which we abide, we must endure an atmosphere of that which is anti-Christian. It says that we know that the spirit of anti-Christ is abroad today. And we are like Lot at times, we're vexed in our spirits because of the anti-Christian spirit that's abroad today. But that will change. Glory to God, that will change when we enter the Father's house. No more anti-Christian spirit. We'll enter an atmosphere of worship. We truly will worship the Lord and the Spirit of truth and holiness. And what's more, that's the atmosphere our souls will, as it were, bathe in continually. My, that's something to look forward to. That's something to look forward to. You remember when I was saved, and you were hungering after the word, and we'd wonder where is there a meeting we can go to tonight. I wonder, is there a mission on somewhere? And you were disappointed if there was no meeting to attend that particular night, and you had to wait perhaps to the weekend. Well, when we get to heaven, we'll not have to wait. because we'll be in the very atmosphere of worship, and the worship will be continual and continuous. In Revelation 4, there we read in the verse 8, Revelation 4, verse 8, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." They rest not day and night. We'll be able to worship God day and night. That'll be the atmosphere of worship. And you'll notice in the verse 9 of our text, "And they sung a new song, saying." They sung a new song. Those words, "they sung," are in the present tense, which means they sing the new song. They sing the new song, and they sing it, and they sing it, and they sing it, and there's no break. There's no pause. There's no stopping. We will sing the new song forever. We'll sing the new song for all eternity. We'll be in the atmosphere of worship for all eternity. That's the worship in heaven. That's what it would be like when we get to heaven. We notice also not only the praising of the Lamb, but there's the preeminence of the Lamb. We notice clearly that in the worship of heaven, it's not the saints that will be worshipped. It's not any celestial being that will be worshipped. It'll be the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb. The Lamb of God is the one who is worthy of all our worship and all our adoration. Hallelujah. We read there in the verse 5, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." I love that verse. In the midst of the throne stood a lamb. That's where Christ ought always to be, in the midst. In the midst of our worship, in the midst of our praying, in the midst of our preaching, in the midst of our praise, in everything we do, the Lord Jesus deserves to be in the midst of all things that we do. He must be in the midst of our worship, because he's in the midst of the worship in heaven. If Christ is not in the midst of our worship here on earth, then we're not truly worshiping the Lamb. Must be in the midst. But it says that in the midst of the throne and the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. So we're dealing with the lamb who was slain. We're dealing with the lamb who was nailed to the cross. We're dealing with the lamb who, upon that cross, when he cried, "It is finished," gave up the ghost. And he was laid in the tomb. But what does it say? It says, "In the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain." But the lamb that had been slain is now standing. He has defeated death. He's standing, victorious as the mighty conqueror who has defeated hell and the grave and death, and will see him and will worship him and will want to fall down and kiss his feet. We'll sing the praises of the victorious, preeminent Lamb. He's in the midst. He's the sovereign Lamb because he's in the midst. He's the slain Lamb, and he's the standing Lamb. Worthy. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Crown him with many crowns. The Lamb upon his throne. Hark how heavenly anthems drown all music but his own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee. And hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him with many crowns. May we crown him with our praise. May we crown him with our worship. May we crown him with our adoration. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. This is the worship of heaven. Far cry from some of the things that go under the title worship today. Notice the posture before the Lamb. When all of heaven worships the Lord and worships the Lamb, a certain posture is adopted. Chapter 4, verse 10, and the 24 elders fell down before him. Chapter 5, verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Chapter 5, verse 14, and the four beasts said, Amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him. This is the posture of profound worship. Now, of course, when we come together, we may not be able to literally fall down and worship him in our Sabbath services, but we are certainly to do that in heart. In heart. We're to worship the Lord out of our hearts. We're to give the Lord heart worship. As if we are indeed literally falling down and worshiping him. How often do we do that when we worship the Lord in God's house? Do we worship the Lord out of a full heart? Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. See what the Lord said? They draw nigh to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The Lord did not even regard that act as worship because it wasn't from the heart. That's how we're to worship the Lord. That's how we'll worship the Lord in heaven. With all of our hearts. It was John Bunyan who said, rather let thy heart be without words than thy words without heart. Do you get that? Rather let thy heart be without words than thy words without heart. We're talking about the worship of the Lord, and in heaven we'll worship the Lord with all of our hearts. We are to worship the Lord here with all of our hearts. How we need to worship the Lord with all of our hearts. May God forgive us for those times when we merely pay our dear, loving Savior lip service. The one who loved us and gave himself for us and suffered for us and was tortured for us and tormented for us, and all we can do is pay him lip service. No, he deserves more than that. He deserves the worship of our hearts. When we come into this house, let us take to heart the word of the psalmist: be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. That's what the worship of God is all about. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Reverence. We mentioned it in our opening prayer. Reverence. The word reverence there means to be feared. To fear God. That's it. To fear God. Coming into God's house with that sense of God's holy presence, and we come into God's house in the fear. Remember watching that DVD about the revival in the Isle of Lewis and the testimony of the two women who walked to the house of the Lord. And I remember them saying that as they walked to God's house, they would talk. But the nearer they got to God's house, the less they talked. Until they were only a matter of yards from God's house. And they couldn't talk. Such was the sense of God's presence. A holy fear of God came upon them. Oh, for those days again. Oh, for those days to come upon us again. To fear God. God, who is a consuming fire. What do we have today? We have this attitude towards God. And he's treated by many as if he's the chum next door. He's treated as some kind of old man with a white beard and sitting up in the heavens and can't do anything. And people address him as if he's his chum. No, he's not. God is a consuming fire. God is the Almighty, and he is to be reverenced. And he's to have been spoken of and spoken to with reverence. Instead of undue familiarity that only proves one thing to me anyway, that person who speaks about God and speaks to God in that familiar way and familiar attitude, it tells me that person doesn't really know who God is. If they really knew who the God they were speaking to, if they really knew who he is, they wouldn't speak that way. Do you ever be in the company of individuals and they come to talk about the Savior? It's all Jesus. You ever hear him saying, Lord? Well, he is the Lord. And I'll tell you something. You never read of the disciples addressing the Savior by his first name. When they spoke to him, they addressed him properly. Reverently, they would call him Master. They never addressed him as Jesus. Oh, they referred to him in that way, but never speaking directly to him. We should learn from that. This is to do with the worship of heaven. You notice the assembly at worship in heaven. The Savior once said in Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, the great shepherd's flock in this world that we live in may seem to be small at times. And we rejoice when we do happen to meet up with a Christian somewhere. We're glad to meet them, talk to them. But the Lord's flock isn't just so little at all. We have the multitude before the Lamb. Here in this vision of John, he tells us about the assembly which engaged in the worship of the Lamb, as well as the four creatures and the 24 elders. 24 elders represented all the blood-bought and blood-redeemed men and women in heaven. And we read in verse 9 again in our text, and they sung a new song saying, notice something, they sung a new song saying, their songs of worship said something. Their songs of worship said something. You get these worship songs today and they don't say anything. Oh, they'll repeat the chorus a dozen times. They don't say anything. Oh, give me the old-time gospel hymns that exalt the blood and exalt the cross and exalt Christ. Away with these modern-day choruses that don't say anything. Why don't you love singing the old hymns that are full of doctrine and truth? And you love to sing them, and in so doing, you love to exalt the Lord. That's what we'll be doing in heaven. And in verse 11, we read, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them, listen, was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. In one Bible commentator I read, he said that that figure there was 100 million. It's quite an assembly. 100 million singing Worthy is the Lamb. You know, when we are at an Easter convention and the people are singing, and we think to ourselves, what must heaven be like? If we're with 2,000 or so people and they're lifting the roof with their praise. 2,000 people, what will it be like when 100 million are singing the praises of the Lamb? Won't it be great, and we'll be there and we'll be adding our voices to that great chorus and that great anthem of praise. Singing, worthy is the Lamb. What a sight. What a song. What a sound. But what a Savior. 100 million singing, worthy is the Lamb. Boy, will that gladden our hearts. What will it be like to be there? We speak of the land of the blessed, that country so bright and so fair, and oft are its glories confessed, but what must it be to be there? You notice the ministry unto the Lamb. We gather in God's house to worship our Lord and be ministered through his word, but we must remember that we are also to come, should come to God's house to minister to the Lord too. He ministers to us, we are to minister to him. We minister to him through our praise and our adoration and our worship. It must be all Christ. It must be taken up with him. As the psalmist has said, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever, and his truth endureth to all generations. Enter into his gates with praise. It's the worship of heaven. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. Psalm 135, verses 2 and 3. There's some so-called acts of worship today, and I must say they're not pleasant. In North America, there are certain evangelical men, evangelical leaders, and they're great conference speakers and all across North America and elsewhere. And they have at some of their conferences rap music musicians, hip hop music, rock music, all under the guise of Christian rap, Christian hip hop, Christian rock. I remember being told about these certain individuals, these so called Christian hip hop or rap musicians. Remember going on to the internet to get a look at to see what they're like. Dear, oh dear, oh dear. There they are up on a stage. The strobe lights are flashing everywhere. And there are thousands of young people, and they all gather up to the stage. And as these so-called Christian artists are supposed to be singing, there the young people are going like this here. And you know what they call it? call it worship. I call it an abomination. You cannot marry Christian rock, Christian hip hop, Christian rap music. You can't marry those things to heavenly worship. There's no marriage. I don't care who the artist is. That's not heaven worship. That's not the worship of heaven. So all the talk about contemporary Christian music, CCM, may we never have anything to do with it. Because I don't see anything in Scripture that gives license to having such music. And anyway, we look here at our text. And the text says, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Look at it. There's no mention of music there. No, they sung a new song. That's where the emphasis should be. What we sing. And as we've already pointed out, the song that will be sung in heaven says something. There's substance in it. And if there's substance in our singing in heaven, there's to be substance in our singing here and our praise here on earth. When I was in the church in Barrie, there was a man came in one night from a Baptist church. The particular congregation he was a member of, I think he was a deacon, didn't have a pastor, and so he was going around different Baptist churches really to see if there were any candidates out there. And he just happened to come into our service this night and was talking to him afterwards, and he introduced himself and he told me what he was about. And he says, you know, I've been to about 30 churches. And he says, I couldn't recommend one man out of one of those 30 churches because of the music program. Because he didn't want the kind of music that was going on in these other churches. He didn't want it in his church. And the music program has wrecked and destroyed many a church. That's where it'll all start. Let's stick by the word. Here we have the worship of heaven, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy. Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Notice, worthy is the Lamb to receive. What does the Lamb receive in the worship in heaven? He receives power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Seven things. Seven is the number of perfection. Seven is the number of completion. And praise God, our worship in heaven will be complete. Perfect. Perfect. Some of us would love to have a lovely voice to sing. Well, the Lord didn't bless some of us with that. But when we get to heaven, it'll be perfect. Think of it, it'll be perfect. And our worship of the Lord will be complete. There'll be nothing missing. There'll be nothing lacking. And we will sing the new song, and we'll sing with a loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and riches and strength and honor and glory and blessing. In the last place, because our time has gone, we notice it's the Lamb who's magnified. It's the Lamb who is always magnified. And you notice what the song is all about. It's all about the cross. It's all about the sacrifice. You recall when the Lord took Peter, James, and John up the mount, and he was transfigured before them. And there appeared two glorified saints, Moses and Elias. And the Lord Jesus and Moses and Elias held a conversation. What was the topic of their conversation? The cross. Talked about what he would accomplish in Jerusalem. That'll be the topic of our conversation in heaven. Cross. And that's what we'll be singing about in heaven, the cross. And we'll worship the Lamb, and we'll worship him with all of our hearts. And whenever the opportunity presents itself, we'll fall down. Kiss those nail-scarred feet. Say, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. May we worship God here the way we will worship him in heaven. When are you going to heaven? Oh, what an awful shame of people here tonight and you're not going to heaven. What a tragedy. Instead of listening to the glorified saints singing, worthy is the Lamb, you'll be listening to the howls and the weeping and the wailing and the gnashing of lost souls in the caverns of the damned for all eternity. If you're not ready for heaven, get ready tonight. For the Lord Jesus will save you. He's the Lamb that was slain. And the blood that he shed will wash away all your sins. And you'll be able to join us. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze on glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on those pierced hands. For the Lamb, it's all the glory in Emmanuel's land. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Our gracious, eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we thank the Lord for the glimpse into glory afresh this night. We thank the Lord for the one who is all worthy. The Lord of our worship there. We praise thee, Lord, there it will be complete. There it will be perfect. And oh God, it'll be reverent. And we'll worship him that liveth forever and ever. Lord, thy word has challenged us tonight. Lord, we have to admit how many times our worship down on earth is not with all our heart. O God, cleanse us afresh in that blood. We would not, Lord, merely offer lip service to one who gave himself for us on that cross. Speak on to our hearts, we pray. Lord, up there we'll sing with a loud voice. Forgive us for those times we take the hymnal and the professed people of God, the lips are not even moving. Oh God, speak on to us, we pray. Thank you, Lord, that our gaze has been fixed on the one who has all the glory in Emmanuel's land. We will sing, we will, Lord, join in that great multitude in that anthem that will last for all eternity. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. O God, have mercy on some soul tonight that has no assurance as yet of being there. Lord, even tonight, in the closing seconds of this meeting, speak with that voice that wakes the dead. Bring them, Lord, by the cords of love, the saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord for thy presence. Thank the Lord for helping thy servant. Lord, as we part for a little season, may the word of God ring on in our soul. May we yet feast upon it. Lord, when words cannot fully express the feeling of our heart, Lord, may we break out in song. Oh, hear this our prayer, and bless us now as we leave. Give journey of mercies home. May the presence of the triune God be our portion, both now and forevermore. We pray in Jesus' precious name.